Welcome back to another edition of the Los Pointies Podcast. Curtis, it was a week to remember because we were all over Flash and Roll at Ruidoso.
Yes.
How did we jump off of this horse? And how did this horse go off at 9-2 to win the Golden State Million?
Sometimes you just try and be smarter than you should be. I think it was, and we just analyzed that work that we talked about before. I think another thing I've gained much more respect for Apolitical Pence.
Yes.
Who I didn't think was in the upper tier, but that horse continues to run. He ran third there in the Golden State Million final. So
it's all about the gate speed. You got to respect the gate speed.
I mean, he doesn't make any mistakes.
Nope.
I think that was the key. I think when he first came, I thought, okay, here's a horse that's quick from the gate, but let's see how he does going 400. But he outworked Flash and Roll there, and I think I just got off of there, but luckily, I got back on just in time and got the big check with her.
Yeah, it was a Flash and Roll there, taking the Golden State Million Futurity win. G.R. Carter with the backwards flip there in the winner's circle.
Yes, it's always, he's getting a little older.
Yes.
So he does the backflip sparingly. And he didn't land, he didn't stick the landing.
No.
Kind of had a little backward roll. But, I mean, anytime you get to see that in person, it's pretty special.
So what's Flash and Roll record now? Was it 2-3 wins and 4 starts, I want to say?
I believe so.
Right?
I think it's...
Yeah, it might be 3-4 because he won the
trial. Yeah, 3 out of 4.
And then he didn't fire in the final.
Yeah.
He came back and won another trial.
But didn't make the final.
Didn't qualify. Then won a trial. So it might be 4 or 5.
Or 4 for 5.
Four for five,
you're correct, yes.
Yeah, 4 for 5 for Flash and Roll. Looking forward to that one returning in the 2 million trials in just about 2 weeks' time now.
Yep.
2 weeks into, 2 weeks away for the 2 million Futurity trials. We're just 1 week away from the Bank of America AQHA Challenge Championships. It's always a fun event when we can host it here at LaSalle. But that brings along a free buckle for the first 2,400 in attendance. The buckle's in high demand already.
And it's a pretty nice buckle.
It is.
Yeah. I thought we couldn't top the first one we did.
Yeah.
And this one came out, and thanks to the people over there at Montana Silversmiths, they came up with another great design. I think these are going to be a hot item.
They are going to be hot. So make sure you make your way to Los Alamitos and be one of the first 2,400 paid admissions to get a free AQHA championship belt buckle. And also, on that night, the on-track NHC qualifying handicapping contest. Looking forward to it. I can't play. You can't play.
Nope.
But George, Quarter GD is salivating already.
You can bet that he'll have two entries into that thing.
Yes.
And I think he's already paid one of his entries in there. You can already go online, I believe, and get on. It's $400 to enter, and $100 goes to the prize pool, $300 to play with there in the live format. And if there's over 60 people, they'll have 3 seats to the NHC championship there. Under, it'll be 2 seats.
Yeah, so we're looking forward to that contest there on that night of racing. Should be a good full night of quarter horse top to bottom. So we got the belt buckle coming up, we got the AQHA championships, we got NHCs going on. Anything else that we could talk about? Oh, today.
No, first, Mike Smith will be
correct.
Here as well.
Yes, yes. Mike Smith confirmed.
Yes.
He's going to be in attendance at Los Alamitos.
We kind of got the little teaser last time. Yeah. It was just a rumor, but he will be here signing autographs. I guess they're going to have posters. $25 a person.
Yeah.
He'll sign a poster for you, and it's from 8 to 9 p.m.
And that is all to benefit the Sam Donson Memorial Foundation.
Yeah.
So for a good cause. So Mike Smith will be here at LaSalle. I don't know exactly where he's going to be at. We'll find out. Of course, we'll teeter out where he's going to be located as far as in the grandstand wise. But it's pretty compact grandstand. It'll be easy to find.
Yeah, I'm sure they would probably put him maybe on the first floor. Everybody coming in, or possibly outside the Vessels Club.
Yeah.
I know they'll do some signings there. But he'll be easy to find.
Don't
worry.
For sure, he'll be easy to find. That's for sure. Before we get into Sunday night's Golden State Million Super Derby card, the Town Policy is going to be running here on Saturday. We're recording this before the race on Saturday. Why don't you tell us a little bit about the mystique or the filly, the story behind Town Policy.
Yeah, Town Policy was a horse. I believe it was 1977 or
yes.
You know, it was a while ago for Blaine Schwanevelt. Mm-hmm. And Town Policy was the champion 2-year-old. And then one day they go and the horse is kidnapped from the stall. Nobody knows where it is. And the legend I've been told is Blaine Schwanevelt went on a horse hunt down in Mexico by himself and ended up finding Town Policy in a pasture.
I mean, this is crazy. So, only 5 days after winning the 1977 Fresno Futurity, he was stolen from his stall at Blaine Schwanevelt's barn in Stanton, California. They posted a $15,000 reward for information leading to the horse's return. Most rovers pointed to Mexico, where quota horse maturation was very popular. 5 months later, in a 150 pounds lighter, the little bay gelding was found in a Mexico cornfield. Barely 10 weeks after that, Town Policy won the Los Alamitos Derby, the West Coast's most prestigious quarter horse race for 3-year-olds, and he beat the field by 2.5 lengths, setting a track record of 21.60. How about that?
I mean, that is that's probably the biggest tale we have here at Los Al. I mean, just think of super trainers, you know, getting in their truck.
Yes.
Could you imagine Bob Baffert, you know, getting in his truck?
I got to go down to Mexico and find my horse.
See you later, guys. Yeah. I gotta go on hunting. As far as I know, he was alone. So, I mean,
I
don't know all the details. I'm sure it's a heck of a story once we get the whole thing.
You got to feel that, you know, it's. I'm pretty sure as the time has passed, that the story becomes even more mystique. But
yes,
to find him alone in a cornfield. The word was out that they were coming for him, or whoever had him, right? Yeah. So let's just turn him loose and whatever. I mean, how do you even...
That's what I always think of. How do you just get in your truck...
And start driving to Mexico.
You go to Mexico.
It's not like it's a one city. Like, it's...
Yeah. I mean, are you just going around, like, with a picture of... like, a wind picture? Have you seen this horse? You know? Yeah. Like, you know, they're speaking a different language. Yeah. As far as I know, Blaine didn't speak Spanish. So I just can't believe that he ended up doing it. Then he brings the horse back and gets it right up, and I believe it was champion 3-year-old and winning the race many more times. So
that happened in 77. He was stolen. He was found, returned. He won the Los Alamitos Derby in 1984, and just an allowance race. He took a bad step, faded to the left, and then actually brushed the inside rail. The vets later confirmed that night the gelding had broken his shoulder and would have to be euthanized. So Town Policy was laid to rest on the track of Los Alamitos and the infield the next day. So, he's buried in the infield at Los Alamitos.
Yeah, I mean, definitely a horse worthy of having a race named after him. Just one of those stories you always grow up in. So every time we have it, you just got to bring up that story. It's something you can't make up.
No, you can't.
It's one of the all times.
For sure.
I can't believe it. I couldn't imagine going and just trying to find a horse down there. It's like finding a needle in a haystack.
So. Yeah.
Yeah, hats off to Blaine. I can't believe he got that horse. And then just, you know, like I said, to get him back into racing shape is unbelievable.
So that's a little bit about the story of why Town Policy is being honored. He's obviously one of the greats. He won 22 races, including 8 stakes races from 64 starts, and earned over $862,000. That's when $800,000 was a lot of money.
Yes.
A lot of money.
That's doing it the hard way.
Yes. So Town Policy there, honored on Saturday night with the Town Policy featured stakes event on Saturday. All right, before we dive into Sunday's Golden State, Saturday's Super Derby card, let's take a quick break. We'll check in, make sure all the audio is nice and crisp, and we'll get back into the card and start looking at it. All right, we're back, and we're about to dive in Sunday's Super Derby. 9 races on the card, Curtis. The winner earns a berth into the Champion of Champions. But my question to you is, are you going to pay up your other pizza bet this week?
Yeah, you're killing me on these.
Hey, I'm just planning ahead. I don't know if I should buy food before I get here. I'm just trying to plan ahead. What's going on?
I will be paying on 2 million trial night. That will be the next pizza I buy. I bought last week.
Yes, thank you.
Hold us over. I think Quarters George was getting a little too sick of pizza, so I didn't want to fire back with another one right away. So, 2 million trial night, then you'll have your pizza.
Question.
Go ahead.
Is the belt going to be in the mix 2 straight weeks?
Yes, the belt will be on the line. Challenge night.
Okay.
And that's then right back again.
The next week.
Yes, and it'll be right back again for $2 million. Hopefully I can grab it back and then defend it right away. I don't want it to be there again all the way till kindergarten. So hopefully I can get it back and stay in my possession the rest of the year.
All right, so now my question to you is, what would hurt more? To lose it again back-to-back weeks? Essentially, Professor G keeps it for the next two duels, or for you to win the first one and then Professor G to win it right back the next week?
Definitely to lose both of them.
Really? Okay.
I at least got to win the first one. Or win the second one. That's the one that is the most important.
If you can split the series, you'll be happy.
Yeah, because a real insider tip, Professor G gets the inside information when he does his interviews on Challenge Night.
Yes, he does.
So when he does like Cal Breeders Champion Night, when he does Challenge Night, he gets to talk to these connections from out of state, and he can usually find some pretty good prices. I can remember a long time ago, he dropped his biggest winner ever was Texas Chatterbox.
Really?
For like, I think it was $35 the horse paid. And he was like, oh, well, you know, I was talking to the trainer. Yeah. When he came in, I was like, this is before I was really watching the races that well out of state. So Professor G's tough on those nights.
So we agreed that he has a slight edge on Champions Night.
Yeah, I would give the nod to him. I'll be fighting an uphill battle.
Okay.
But I will do my best. And hopefully the belt returns to Equibase Corner.
All right, let's get to the business at hand on Sunday. First race, 4-furlong event, thoroughbreds for a $2,500 claiming tag. We got a field of 6. I don't have the morning line in front of me, Curtis, but who is going to be your pick here in race number 1?
It's going to be the morning line favorite. It's going to be the 2, Androsa Sky, sitting at 2-1 here. Drops from 3,200 down to 25, but it is open here. It's going to have to contend with the 3, Dream On Brother, and the 6, Run Bro Run for the lead. But I just loved the race this horse ran last time. I thought it was a pretty powerful effort there at 4.5. Shortens up to 4 furlongs and draws the inside. And I love that Lorenzo Ruiz, every time he wins a race, his next start out, he's 41%.
Yeah, he's sharp. When he gets them sharp, they stay sharp.
Yes.
So I do agree that the 2 is going to be a top contender. I'm going to have him for 2nd. My top pick is going to be the 4. Awesome leap here. What's the morning line on here?
6-1.
Ooh, 6-1 check mark for me.
I think this horse is very live.
And you know why? Because I think that running line of Stumble Last Rider is going to look bad on the PPs. So a lot of players might be a little bit cautious. But this horse is in sharp form, has speed, can also stalk from behind the pace and rally. So I like a little bit of versatility. 6-1, it's a nice juicy price. We'll probably get bet down, but I think this horse could sit a good trip there off of that troubled trip last time out. Was only 5-2 against the Sharp Gin's Journey last time out, right? Yeah. And the final clocking was 50-4 there for a very sharp race. So drop in class, versatility, sharp form. I'm taking the 4 on top. The 2 is going to be my 2nd choice, like I mentioned. But remember when Dream On Brother was duking it out and beating some of the best horse on the grounds going 870?
Yes.
So Dream On Brother there could be sharp second time off the layoff here. Caleb McDade gets aboard for the first time. I really like this horse. At a bit of an upset as well. What's the morning on this one?
5-2 for Dream On Brother.
Okay, so a little bit lower there. So I'll go 4, 2, and 3 for me in race 1.
Yeah, we're on the same page here. I went 2, 4, 3. I like the 4 and 2nd. Just like you said, stumbled and lost the rider. But, you know, Jen's Journey had been running lights out for my dad and then the Bowman family there. It's going to drop again. And you're going to get a nice price if this horse can just fire right back. You know, Pettman's claiming price in half. And I think is going to have to sit that stalking trip, like you said, behind the 2, the 3, and the 6. And then Dream On Brother, a horse, I think I was going to put the 6 in. But okay. I changed it to the 3, Dream On Brother, because just like you said, been running against Devil's Informer, Rule He Will, Cow Cali Gauchies, Towards Light, Stoney's Mr. Cruiser. All these horses are really good 870 horses. And drops into 2,500, so the class relief should help.
And don't get me wrong, I am scared of the 6. Rumble Run is my 4 choice. 3 wins in a row, plenty of speed. There's lots of things to like about the 6.
Yeah.
I just don't know if he's going to make the lead in this field. So if he doesn't make the lead, I think he's kind of not the best to trust from off the pace.
Exactly. I thought the outside post was really the negative here.
Yeah, that's the thing. But that's a horse that definitely has a big shot as well. So 4-2-3 for me.
2-4.
All right, race number 2, the second half of the early double here. Curtis, our sound effects are missing tonight, but The lock of the night for me here, coming in race number two, Shadow of War. 7-2, is that the morning night? 7-2?
7-2.
Shadow of War here. Brooke good last time out at Crosstown at Santa Anita. Pressure is the 4-5 favorite going into the lane there, into the turn, excuse me, and then weakened badly to finish last. But two things I like. I like the good gate speed. I like that this horse pressured the pace, 21-4 last time out across town. And I like that it was only the first start. Now it comes back here to Los Al. It's essentially, there's plenty of upside for a horse that's only race one. So Shadow of War is going to be my lock of the night in race number two.
Yeah, I like Shadow of War. I picked him in the third spot. Making his first start at Los Al, that's the only reason. I'm going to throw him there in the third spot. I think he might need a race over the nighttime oval at first, but you know, was fairly bet there in that debut and was up there early. I ultimately went to the four-horse first stone here for Robert Lucas, a horse that was chasing the pace early. Didn't close that well, but did, you know, best the rest of the field. Catches a fairly paceless field here, and I like the switch to Edgar Pires from Marcial Ramirez. I think that's a huge get. But, you know, this is a pretty wide-open field here in the second.
Yeah, so I'll go 3, 4, and 7. The 3 is my lock of the night. The 4 first zone, like you mentioned, got a good educational run over the track. Edgar Pires and Robert Lucas, they've been winning races in bunches.
Exactly.
And so it's hard to go against them right now. And Nova Factum there on the outside, another one coming from across town to Santa Anita, I think could actually pop up with a big of a price there. So 3, 4, 7 for me being the 3, the lock of the night.
Yeah, and I went 4, 1, 3. The only one we didn't talk about was the 1, King of Leon. The horse is going to make a second start here, 870 at Los Al. Was closing last time, so hopefully just a little more speed can put him into the running, but draws along the inside. I think that could hurt him.
Yeah, but we're in agreement that the lightly raised runners 3 through 7, might have the edge over the 1 and 2.
Exactly.
At least early on. All right, race number 3 here. Rolling pick 3s begin here in race number 3. You can start winning race 2 as well, but race number 3 there, you can start a new one. 4.5 furlongs, thoroughbred conditional claimer, so $4,000. Compact field of 6. Who's your pick here?
Hopefully I can help out your price from earlier in the card. I'm going to go to the 3 confirm here to spice up.
What's the morning line?
The early pick 4. 6-1 for confirm. First time for Yannette. We know how good she's been around the turn. You know, it stays here at the $4,000 level, so I think that's good. Didn't have to raise them up. I like the race, what was it, 5 outs back. Showed some speed at the $3,200 level. And she always gets these horses to show that early speed. So, you know, there's not a ton of early speed. The 4 Seattle Encounter, you know, is going to be the main challenger here, but is coming off. It's only going to be 7 days in between races. Yeah. So I'm not a big fan of that. And 31 to 60 days, Yannette's hitting at 50%. So I'm hoping confirmed can just show off a little more early speed. Chris Russell usually would be on these horses, but as we said before, when he went down the other day, he's going to take a little time off. But Ulysses Gomez gets a ride aboard, so hopefully he can just get this one to the front end.
And confirmed is going to be my third choice. But, you know, talk about that race. Gutsy Strick, the winner of that race, came back to win on Friday night at Los Al.
Yes.
I think Gutsy is on a 4 or 5 race win streak.
Yeah, really not right.
Yeah, it's a very sharp runner. So confirmed there, 6-1. It's going to be Curtis's top pick. I'm going to go to the 5. Great Bambino, horse that has been good to my pockets there. Last time out, he got the job done at 3-1. That's a check mark as well. So I'm going to go right back to this one. Can show plenty of speed. I like the 51-1 final clocking there. Broke fast, dueled, shook off the main horse that put pressure on him, and then held off a late charge from his Stutley. I thought it was a very good effort for this 5-year-old gelding, so I'm going to go to the 5 right back. I'll go 5-1-3. I'll support the Chuck Kreese barn here along the inside.
Okay.
Are you supporting the Chuck Kreese barn in here or no?
I did pick him second.
Okay, there you go.
I did throw him in there. Chris, but I do want to play. You know, that's why I went for the price, because I think Chris is cooking is beatable.
Chris is cooking there. What's the morning line Chris is cooking?
2-1.
All right, 2-1 there along the inside. A horse that it's going to be rolling late, that's for sure.
Yep.
But how good of a trip can he work out from that rail? That is the question for me. So I'm picking the 5 on top. The 1 is going to be rallying from off the pace. And then confirm is my third choice there. I think Yanni Rodriguez is going to have this one ready to go. So 5, 1, and 3 for me.
Yeah, I went 3, 1. Chris is cooking there in second. You know, takes a little drop in class down again. Pyaris just needs to get this horse earlier into the race. I'm not liking the early speed so far. So, should be rolling late, but can he run some down? Then I went to the 6, Love Your Life. Came back to Los Al at night last time. Didn't show a whole lot of early speed, but before that, the daytime oval was very competitive and has been exiting some strong races, and I like the outside draw, so I think might be overlooked here.
All right, to recap, I'll go 5-1-3.
3-1-6.
All right, race number 4, the start of the pick 6 here in race number 4 with the 9-race program. Field of 7, 4.5 thoroughbreds, conditional claimers, 3,200 is the claiming tag. Who's the morning line favorite here, Curtis?
The morning line favorite's going to be the 3 horse, Astutely. It's going to be the number 4, Lion's Luck, 2-1 for Keith Craigmile. Astutely is 5-2.
So Astutely there, so the two favorites are run right next to each other. Salaz Diamond, the horse you did not include last week for that pick 4.
Yeah, we didn't talk about that. Got edited out of our
second
show.
It did.
Yeah, you asked me who my lock was, and it was Changing Karma.
Yep.
Then I went to the Lynn Melton horse in the second.
Yeah.
And then I was all against my dad's horse, Rim Ditch.
Because Stop and Pop.
Like
Pop and
one
Stop.
1-5. So yeah. I put in 3 horses, leave out Salaz Diamond, go 4 deep in the last. I missed Salaz Diamond. In the Rim Ditch race, I checked the 1-5. The pick 4 ends up paying $1,400, and all because I wouldn't pay $4 more, maybe a $16 ticket. Man. I miss out. Yeah. So
you need
get cheap, everybody.
You need an appointment with the Bappy Terrace for that one. So tell me, who are you going to pick on top here in race number 4?
You know, I'm usually against Grass Runner going 4.5.
Yeah.
But I just don't think there's a whole lot of speed in this field, and I can see this horse getting away on the front end because Lion's Luck. There's not a whole lot of speed there. It stopped last time. It was only down a length and a half. But, you know, didn't show a lot of early speed there. And then the 3, Astutely, same thing, is going to have to sit a stopping trip. So I'm thinking Grass Runner can just get away on the front end. And hopefully Kelly McDade getting back aboard, you're going to get the weight break. Does draw the outside. I hope it doesn't have to be too hard used. But hopefully Grass Runner can clear fairly quickly and have some for the rest.
So I think we're going to be in agreement. I like 4-3-7 in that order. Lion's Lock there. I thought it was a sharp win last time out. It was only a 4-horse field, but I like how he kind of hopped out of the start. He chased the lead, steady going into the turn, and then once the rail opened, he really showed up with a good energy to win going away. So I like the effort for Lion's Lock. So I'll go 4-3-7. The 3 Astutely is going to be running from off the pace. Second to Green Bambino, the horse I like in race number 3. And Grass Runner there. Kelly McDade with the apprentice allowance. Gets back aboard. I think Grass Runner is going to show plenty of speed from that outside draw. So not real creative. I think it's between those 3 horses, 4-3-7.
Yeah, just a little bit different order. I'm going to go 7-3-4.
Yeah, nothing much more to add in race number 4. Race number 5 here, quarter horse and thoroughbreds going 870. Is there a quarter horse in this field? No. All thoroughbreds. Field of 6. But am I did I look at the morning line correct on this one? When's the last time we've seen a morning line this low for a horse?
You don't see it very often. I mean,
1-5
to beat, but he likes to leave just a little meat
on
the bone.
Yeah, yeah,
you know, but yeah. So I'm pretty sure we're both in agreement. The 2. Do you have the 2 on top?
Yeah, it's okay. No contest.
Hardcore Troubadour here, sitting at 1-5. Just been racing against much tougher. Just a ton of speed.
Ton of speed.
You know, Parasil, the 5, is probably going to try and challenge really, but I don't think there's any way that they're going to try and give Hardcore Troubadour enough trouble that he loses this race.
No, I mean, it's his race to lose. I mean, he went 44-85 the last time he went 870 here on the grounds, beating Big Champion, who went on to win a stakes in Northern California, I believe so. But yeah, I mean, look at this horse for Edward Freeman, owner and trainer, 2018. 10 stars, 3 wins, $100,000 in earnings.
I mean, that's a gift.
Just in 2018.
That's amazing.
I mean, I would love to own one of these horses.
Oh,
I mean,
you're talking about
a horse that has been racing here at Los Al, went to Santa Anita, went to Del Mar, Golden Gate. I mean, even won at Fresno.
Yep.
And you're earning $100,000 in 2018 with this horse. I mean, just a round of applause to Edward Freeman to getting this one to 6 figures here by running in these kind of races.
Yeah, this horse is just a gamer. When you can ship them all over, no matter what track it is, they're just going to run. It's just a testament to how gritty this horse is. So I think he's going to be pretty tough here. Like I said, going to the 5, Parasil, who has proven that He likes the nighttime oval here. He's only run twice here. Has two wins. He's going to try and challenge early. Probably just going to have to hold on for second. And then for third, I went to the sixth, Quantum Force, who was returning to the nighttime surface last time after showing speed in the daytime oval. I think it was just a little too much speed there in that 870 race, but it should show a little more here from the outside post.
So we disagree on the under horses. I like 2-4-1. I like the win from Kenny Benny, two starts back, defeating the quarter horse run raging Rhino Run and Crystal. Crystal came back to run a disappointing third last night here at LaSalle on Friday night. But Applehorn was a horse that never breaks, didn't break all that well last time, and still got the job done there I was surprised how low this horse was. It was 5-1 last time out. He got the job done. So if he ever breaks, he's going to be in the mix. So I'll go 2-4-1.
Yeah, I think Alpenhorn will be pretty good. I know Ciappino Pasadena was a horse my dad used to have. So beating that one, I didn't know how strong of a race it was, but definitely looked good after that slow start.
Now that you remember, I don't know if you, you know, you told me a story last week. We were talking off air. But it's one of those things where, remember when, I think you told me that your dad got a text from Bejarano's agent?
Yeah.
Like, I want to ride back your horse?
Yeah.
Then we went back and turned back the clock. You know, sometimes, it's one of the things, when I see a low-profile rider riding a barn that doesn't have the usual big number stables or is not a big stakes barn, you're like, this horse is live.
Yeah.
Right? When you see a top rider.
Yeah.
All right. So why don't you tell us that story of that one time that the great Lafitte Pinkay wanted to ride a horse for your dad?
Yeah, it was toward the end of Lafitte Pinkay's career. You know, my dad was running some at Santa Anita, and I remember he came up to my dad and he told him, like, "Hey Chuck, why don't you put me on something?" Yeah. And you know, it was a good horse, you know, sound horse, nothing wrong with it. And my dad just said, "Lafitte, I can't put you on my horse. If something should happen and you get in an accident and it's caused by me, I'll never be able to live it down." So he was like, "Thank you for the offer, but you know, you can keep riding for the other guys."
So see, that goes into play. Like, sometimes you know, we don't see what goes on behind the scenes, but there's things that happen where, perfect example, a top, one of the most legendary riders in the game, he's asking your dad, "Hey, put me on something." Your dad's like, "No, please, no.
Yeah.
No, I don't want to."
Yeah, I mean, he just had so much respect for it. I think my dad would have been, that probably would have been the most nervous he ever was for a race if he had Lafitte Pinkay up in the saddle.
Yeah, I could imagine. It's just one of those things. So, it's one of my angles. When I see a high-profile rider riding for a low-profile barn, especially at a bigger circuit, It's an automatic use for me if I'm playing exotics or whatever. It's just one of those things where, especially at a price. We were just talking that Bejarano, like, offered to ride back a horse that your dad claimed or something
that. Yeah, just claimed it last week, and, you know, Bejarano's agent, I guess, texted back and said, like, "Oh, we would love to." So it was kind of making my dad feel better. You know, he's been running a lot better over at Santa Anita.
Yeah.
You know, I looked yesterday, and he had a third with a Twirling Tiger, I believe.
Yes.
Was something like that. And he had Tyler Bayes aboard.
Yeah.
I always tell him to ride his man, Stuart Elliott.
Yeah.
I like Stuart Elliott.
Stewie.
He always tries hard for my dad, and he's had the most success with him. But, yeah, I mean, anytime you can get those guys, it's just an added bonus. They're always so good.
Yeah, that just came to mind, so I felt we wanted to share that story. All right, race number 6, the start of the Lake Pick 4. We're getting close to post time here on Saturday, so we'll rapid fire through the last 4 races here. All right, race number 6, 100-yard dash, Curtis, field of 6. This has always been an interesting one. You know, Charter Flight was my lock of the night like 3 times in a row or something.
Mm-hmm.
He finally got the job done last time out.
Yeah.
At 7-1, he draws the outside post. Are you picking him on top?
I'm going to the red hot Vinny.
Yes.
Just,
I mean,
just
I
keep breaking these horses, I mean, out of the gate. As good as anybody. Better than Ayala right now, I believe. Ayala hasn't been riding up to par with what we've seen lately. But I'm going right back to him. Draws the outside. Like we said, Vinny's been breaking these horses better than anybody out of the gate. So I'm just going to fire right back to Charter Flight.
Yeah, I'm not gonna go off of a Charter Flight. I'm going to stick on the outside there. 6-4-1 is going to be my top 3. Remember the dash here. Dropping in class. Alberto Zepeda can get him out of the gate as well. And this horse, once upon a time, qualified to the Golden State Million Futurity in 2017. So he's up for grabs for $20,000. We'll see if there's any takers. So she's going to be breaking from post number four. And I'll go to the inside, tell her she's first. Ayala, Paul Jones, was a favorite last time out against Charter Flight and was the game winner three starts back going 100 yards. So nothing wrong with that. So 6-4-1 for me.
Yeah, right there with you. Like the six and then the one, tell her she's first. Already won 200-yard dashes, second to Charter Flight last time. And then the four, remember to dash. I mean, there's not a whole lot of strategy in here. You're just trying to pick the horses that can get out of the game.
That's it. That's it. All right, race number seven. Burn, lock of the night for Curtis coming in race number seven. Curtis, who's your lock?
I'm going to go to the seven bestest here. Ooh. For Justin Joyner and Ramon Sanchez. But, you know, I was just looking. They haven't won a race together yet, and I'm surprised at that. I know. So hopefully we can get this one and be 10%.
Wait, did he win on Friday? Oh, no, that was for Jose Flores, I think.
Yeah. And so, you know, I like the first start at Los Al to my mystery lover who came back and ran a big one against my lock last week, Unlimited. The horse ran really good. Did make up a little ground last time. So I think just, you know, went to the fraternity trial the next time and bumped and just had nothing against those horses, Mr. Apolitical. So drops in here for a claiming price down to 12.5. Class release, you did, should do this horse some good.
I do like the seven. I have the seven for my third choice. What's the morning line on Bethes?
3-1.
3-1. All right, 3-1 on Bethes. My top pick is going to be the six, Fire and Fury, here for Juan Alaman. Carlos Huerta has been the beating favorite last two starts, but was a game second last time. I just missed him by a head when dropping in for attack for the first time. Was well clear the third place finisher. Just ran into a better horse that night. But that effort, if that effort is repeated in this spot, he's going to be a top contender. So I'll go 6, 8, and 7. The 8 stilts here, Jaime Gomez, Jose Nicasio, broke clean last time out, was in contention early, and was just tired in the last final yards. I got to think the cutback from 350 to 300 in the drop in class is going to put this one right in the mix of things. What's the morning line on the 8?
7-2.
Ooh, as well. All right, so I'll go 6, 8, and for everything you mentioned, the 7 is going to be my third choice. So 6, 8, and 7 for me.
Yeah, same numbers, a little different order. 7, 6, 8.
Is there any long shot underneath that you'd like to bet?
I kind of like the one, Winged Jazz.
Okay.
You know, came from out of state, and first time out, you know, off slow and bumped, and the second time was trying to lug out there in the fraternity trials, and is going to, you know, take the cut down to 12.5, draws along the inside. I like the jock switch from Rodolfo Arvizu to Cesar De Alba.
It is a nine-horse field, so I'll go with the three as my other horse in the supers there. I thought it first time gelding, second time off the layoff, has a workout since then. That's an interesting horse for me for my other kind of trifecta and superfecta. So, all right, race number eight. There's two races left. You know what time it is.
The late daily double.
We got a field of seven here. Quarter horse is going 300 yards for a claiming tag of $10,000. Curtis, who's your pick here?
I'm going to try and beat Boxcar Willie.
Okay.
I'm going to go to the two, Snooty Socialite. I like the 4-1 on this horse. Has been competitive in the past, been running against Famous and Hot, Yashira Vista, Chowchilla Chickadee, actually beat a political lady down further down the form. I like that it takes the class drop from 16 down to 10, actually won for 16 two outs ago. So hopefully can mind its gate manners, was fractious last time and broke out, so with a clean trip, isn't that dreaded two post we always talk about?
Bermuda Triangle.
But as long as this horse can get away cleanly, I think it can be pretty tough for 10,000.
Well, you know me. I've been zigging and zagging with Boxcar Willie.
Okay.
I was on him two starts back, cashed.
Yes.
I was off him two starts back, beat him.
Okay.
I'm back on Boxcar Willie tonight. Ooh. He's going to be my check mark here from post number four. I am worried about, you know, being drawn against a couple of horses that can get out of the gate.
Yes.
So I'm picking him on top, but, you know, it's not like he's an absolute lock for me. I would go 4-7-3 here. Watch me fly by on the outside for Danny Montes and Julio de la Torre. Just draw a line through that effort last time out, going 100 yards. The race two starts back was more of a better indication of what this horse can do. I mean, she faced one of the strongest allowance fields of the year.
Exactly.
Maggie Duran, Miss Jess Knockout, one secret winner. I thought it was a valiant effort there, finishing fifth in that trial.
Is 15:38 the fastest time of the year? It's got to be pretty close.
It's got to be really, really close there for that allowance for Maggie Duran. So I'll go for the seven for my second choice, drawing the outside. And then I'll go to the 3A political gamble for third there. I just think the cutback of the distance, the drop in class is going to help. He's always been a gelding that was bred to be good.
Yes.
Showing a little bit of talent at times, but just never really gets out of the gate consistently well to really warrant some respect. So I'm banking that tonight could be a good night for a political gamble. So 4, 7, and 3 for me.
Yeah, when 2, 4, and then the 1. I'm going to go to Gone, Gone Away. It's going to be 8-1 down along the inside. You know, one last time for 62.50. Really nice. Broke out and bumped it and finished out well.
Huge strides.
But it's going to go up to the $10,000 level. But the one thing, you know, it's a family-owned horse.
Yes.
Efren Viramontes. Yeah. Rodolfo Viramontes ridden. What's the...
Armando?
Armando Viramontes.
Yeah, Armando Viramontes. Yeah.
Okay. So, family-owned horse. They only run this horse when it's ready to go.
Yes.
So you know that this horse is going to be at the top of its game. So I like the 8-1. It's drawn along the inside. Shouldn't get into too much trouble. Just the step up in class might be a little too much, but we'll see if he can fire out a price.
We'll see. It's going to be interesting. It's definitely a tricky race for me. So race number 8 there, I'll go 4-7-3-1 for me.
I went 2-4-1.
All right. Race number 9, the featured event, the Los Alamitos Super Derby Grade 1, $925,000 plus is the purse. The winner also earns a berth in the Champion of Champions. Is this the night that Kavian Corona loses his undefeated record here at Los Al?
You know, I tried to beat him last time.
Yes.
But I'm going to go with
him. Wow, okay.
He drew the outside.
Yes, I mean, you can't fault him.
I've always tried to beat these horses. You know, I beat him in Rio del Sol, but he came back. I thought maybe he would have trouble first time at Los Al, but he looked just as good as ever. He beat Call Me Cole, who's a really tough runner. Ramon Sanchez never lost on the horse. I can't pick against him.
Yeah, it's going to be tough to try to beat him, but I'm going to pick against him.
Okay.
But I'm not getting very creative. I'm picking the dinosaur, the T-Rex.
Oh, you're going
the
to the
Clydesdale.
Six.
The Clydesdale quarter horses, Jessica Cartel.
Okay.
Who looked like an absolute lock last time out. Got upset by Isaac Figured.
Yes.
But I thought there was more in the tank. I thought they felt, you know, were good enough to qualify. You know, the winner. You can't take anything away from the winner that night. But I think tonight's the night. This is why they supplemented. They wanted to get into the final. And tonight's the night they want to find out what they got. So I'm picking Jessica Cartel on top, Kavian and Corona for second, and the speedy out of the gate Mooney Blues for third. You know, you can't ignore her gate speed. You can't ignore how well she looked winning the PC Grace Ray Breeders Derby. Mm-hmm. Jose Nicasio, great gate rider, takes over. It's going to be a fun Super Derby. I'll go 6, 10, and 9.
I'm going to try and go a little bit different underneath.
Okay.
I'm going to go to the 4, Call Me Cole, who recently talked about.
Mm-hmm.
The horse, I thought, ran a really nice second to Kavian Corona. He got bumped both sides at the start, lugged out, and still went 1976. So I think this horse is on the comeback trail, only making its third start of 2018. So I think he has every right to improve. Then I'm going to go to the 2, Black Friday.
Ooh.
Was ultra impressive.
Are you worried about the lugging in? Are you worried about that?
Well, at least we're only in the 2 hole.
Yeah, that is true.
He can't go that far.
That is true.
But he just looks so good. I would love this horse a lot more if he did have an outside post. I think that's why I put him in the 3rd spot. But he has run well. He 3 outs back, just got beat by a nose from Jay Fire up there in a derby trial. But I think this horse is double tough. Yeah, he's been really sharp right now. He's sitting at 6-1, so I like his chances as well.
It's going to be a fun Super Derby. The winner also earns their berth into the Champion of Champions. Looking forward to it. Curtis, we got to get back to work.
Yep.
It's almost post time for Saturday's races, so we'll see you guys next week.
All right, bye everybody.
The podcast you just heard was made using Anchor. Ever thought about making your own podcast? Anchor makes it really easy for anyone to get started. It's a one-stop shop for recording, hosting, and distributing podcasts. Best of all, it's 100% free. Sign up now at anchor.fm/new. That's anchor.fm/new to get started.